Okay, good morning. Our reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 16 and verses 1 to 20. So I'll give you just a quick moment to get to that. So Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 20. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until the morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Amen, and going to pass back over to Luke now.
Thanks, Adam. Let's pray, shall we? Boys and girls, you might want to put your hands together and close your eyes so that you don't get distracted. Adults, you might want to do that as well. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Please help us to hear and understand this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I've got three containers at the front that are going to help us today, okay? Three containers. The first is a bottle full of what's it. Me and the boys had fun filling this up yesterday, didn't we? Although I have to say many what's it's were harmed in the making of this bottle of what's it. So there's one container, bottle of what's it's. Here I've got, Here I've got a pot full of beef stew. It's not actually full of beef stew, but just imagine that this pot is full of beef stew, okay? And last but certainly not least, I've got a tub full of live maggots. Okay, this is genuinely a tub full of wriggling live maggots. Hopefully you can see that. Oh, don't want to tip it too much. But there's genuinely live maggots in there. Okay, these three containers are going to help us to learn a very simple lesson about the Lord this morning. You might remember from last week that God's people, the Israelites, are on a journey. They're on a journey from the Red Sea over here, and they're going to go, by the time we finished our series, all the way to Mount Sinai. They've just been saved from slavery in Egypt. And when they get to Mount Sinai, they're going to get all of this detail about how they should live as God's people. But on the way, on the journey, God is going to teach them the very simple lessons, the basic lessons. These are the ABCs of being set free. And today's basic lesson is this. Have a look at the screen. This is the basic lesson. The Lord daily provides for our needs. Every day, the Lord will give us what we need when we need it. Now, that sounds like a really simple thing to believe. We'd all say yes and amen in theory. But in practice, we don't always find it quite as easy as that. And nor did the Israelites. And so as we dive into chapter 16, the first thing we see is grumbling against the Lord. Grumbling against the Lord. Grumbling is what happens when we are not trusting the Lord to provide our daily needs. And we see it in verse 2. They've just left Elim, that place where they had all of that water. There's the 70 palm trees and the 12 springs, abundant provision of water. And then in verse 2, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. When things go wrong, everyone loves to moan about the people in charge. At the moment, everyone loves to moan about Boris and about the government. But Moses and Aaron are the heroes. They had just led Israel out of Egypt, 400 years of slavery. And Moses and Aaron had led them out of that. And yet within 1 month, this is 1 month later, and they've gone from hero to zero. Verse 3, the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all of the food that we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." That's the thanks you get. A vicious, unfair accusation. It's not just, "We think you're doing a bad job." They're actually saying, "You purposefully brought us here to kill us." And even though God had miraculously provided just a minute ago for water, and yet they don't believe that God can do the same thing for food. How quick we often are to say, "Well, yeah, I know that God has provided for me in the past in remarkable ways, but this time it's different." The devil deceives us that though God has been faithful for all of our yesterdays, oh, you can't trust him for today and for tomorrow. And so the Israelites start daydreaming about slavery. They said, "We'd be better off in Egypt. We had these big buckets of beef stew. There was fresh bread out of the bakery. It was great. Oh, life in Egypt was brilliant." It seems crazy that within just 1 month, they could forget how awful slavery was. In fact, it even seems attractive to them. But don't you see this in your own life too? When the Christian life gets hard and you begin to daydream about all of the stuff that you could enjoy if you didn't have to obey Jesus. And there's a kind of twisted part of you that is drawn to that. You were attracted to your life before you were set free, even though you know it was awful. When we lose sight of the greatness of our salvation, we quickly begin to grumble. The word grumble, it means to murmur, complaining words or noises under your breath. That's what it means. So it can be, it doesn't have to be words. Sometimes grumbling is just noises, isn't it? Where you find yourself going, oh. It doesn't have to be, you don't actually have to say anything coherent. It's more of an attitude of heart which overflows out of your mouth. I think we all know what I'm talking about, because we've all been there. We all know what it is to have a grumbling spirit. But that's completely out of order from the Israelites, isn't it? After everything that Moses and Aaron have done for them, I wonder how you think the Lord is going to respond. In my house, if someone is whinging or whining, if they say, "I'm hungry, I want a drink," then normally what we'll say is, you can't ask like that. You know, you're going to have to ask nicely before I give you that drink or that food. But God is so gracious here. He says, actually, I'm going to give you the food that you're whinging about, and then you will know that you have no reason to moan. Look at verse 8 with me. It's up on the screen. Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Grumbling against the Lord's leaders is actually grumbling against the Lord. And I think we can widen that out further and say, all moaning is ultimately against the Lord. We grumble when we are not content with the hand that the Lord has given us. We grumble when we are not trusting that God has got our best interests at heart. So I think we tend to think of moaning as not really that big a deal. Grumbling is, it's not even really a sin, actually, because often we've got a good reason to grumble. There's something hard that we're going through. I wonder what it is for you. What are you most tempted to complain about? Perhaps it is the politicians. Perhaps it's your boss or nuisance neighbours. People who let you down or who get on your nerves. Train delays, traffic jams, coronavirus. I can't get a test. I don't like all of these restrictions. You know, I'm fed up with them. I hate wearing a mask. All of those things are genuinely challenging situations. And so we kind of feel like it's okay to grumble a little bit. But if you think about it, all grumbling is ultimately against the Lord. When you grumble, you are doubting the Lord's good and gracious control over every one of your life circumstances. So when we grumble, we're basically saying, God's not here, God's not good, God's not in control, God can't be behind this, this can't be God's doing. And that's what the Israelites were saying. Verse 3, they say, we should have died under the Lord's control in Egypt, but Moses and Aaron, you're the ones who brought us out here to die. This isn't God's doing, this is you. Which is why the Lord responds as he does. He provides in this way. Why? Verse 6, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. It wasn't just Moses and Aaron trying to kill you. It was the Lord who was doing this. And then in his kindness, the Lord makes himself visibly known. He shows himself to their eyes. Verse 10. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord proves his presence and provides for their needs as a gracious reminder that this is his doing. I am the God who saved you. I will continue to provide for you. A gentle rebuke for their grumbling and for ours. Of course, this doesn't mean that we can't struggle. It doesn't mean that we can never express those difficulties to other people and tell people about the struggles that we're going through. In fact, the Lord invites us to come to him with our complaints and to share our burdens with each other. But there is a difference between sharing a struggle so that you can genuinely work through it with someone and just having a moan because you want to have a moan and it feels good. And I think we probably all know the difference between the two. So next time you catch yourself grumbling, just remember what it... And do you know what? I didn't think I was much of a grumbler till I started working on this passage this week. I've noticed all the time in little things I'm kind of... discontent and grumbling. And every time you catch yourself grumbling, remember what you're actually saying about God. God's not here. God's not good. God's not in control. This circumstance can't be God's good purposes. What's the opposite of grumbling? Gratitude. And so that's the antidote. When you're tempted to moan, change it into a prayer of thanks. Lord, I am frustrated by all of the coronavirus stuff. I'm frustrated that I can't get a test and all of the restrictions and all of the masks. But thank you so much for my health so far. Thank you for a free health system, which is so much better than loads of other places in the world. Lord, my neighbour's music is really doing my head in, and it is unreasonable and it's harsh. But thank you so much that they are made in your image and that they are loved by you. Thank you that I do have a shelter over my head tonight. Grumbling against the Lord is followed then by bread from the Lord, which brings us back onto this bottle of Watsits. Okay, so youngsters, are you still looking? I've got a bottle of Watsits here. Why? Because God amazingly provided bread from heaven. It appeared on the floor in the morning. Do you know what they said? They said, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. So that's why I've got a bottle of Watsits. Because that's what they said. They said, "What's it? What is it on the floor?" Although manna was definitely not cheesy puffs. We don't know exactly what it was, but verse 31 says it was white, not yet, not orange. It tasted like wafers made with honey. Quite nice. It came in thin flakes on the ground. Numbers 11 said it's kind of like resin or gum, maybe a bit sticky in a way, and it had an oily taste. So we don't really know exactly what manna was, but it was clearly an amazing, versatile food which they could bake or boil, and it would keep them going in the desert. But take a look at verse 4 and notice the way that the Lord provides and the reason that he provides in that way. Have a look. That's not going to go, is it? Have a look at verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, you're watching for the way he provides and the reason that he provides. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. This was daily bread. He chose to give them small batches to test whether they would follow his simple instructions. Like we heard last week, God is training his people to listen and obey. And so every day they were told to gather about 2 liters per person, so about as much as you would fit in this bottle. Now, the Lord could have rained down a weekly Tesco shop. They've just been at Elim, where God proved that he can provide abundantly. But some things he chooses to provide daily. He is teaching them daily dependence. God does not promise to give you today what you need for tomorrow. He wants to draw us into a daily dependence on him. And so the Lord uses this opportunity to teach his people a crucial lesson. Every day as they woke up and unzipped their tents, zips weren't invented, but you get the idea. Every day as they opened their tents in the morning, all around them across the camp lay a fresh reminder that his mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And verse 35 tells us they ate manna for 40 years. So 6 days a week, except for on the Sabbath, 52 weeks a year for 40 years. Do you know how many that is? It's 12,480 servings of Watsits. That's a lot of Watsits. 12,480 fresh reminders of God's presence and God's provision. Isn't the Lord kind to teach us a lesson in that way? We often do need to learn the same old things over and over and over again until it gets ingrained. And isn't he kind that he doesn't just kind of dump a big warehouse full of canned goods with a long shelf life and say, "Do you know what? That should do you for 40 years. Just tell your children that it came from me." Instead, every day he adds to the weight of the evidence about his faithfulness. Every day he brings them into a position where they have to live out dependence on him. When we reach the end of our resources, it often feels like a bad place to be, but it's actually a wonderful place to be in many ways. And so the question is, are the Israelites going to pass the test? Are they going to follow his instructions? Well, the first command is to just gather 2 liters per day, and it seems to go well. Verse 17, the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little, depending on how many people were in their house. And verse 18, when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. When you do things God's way, it works. But now there's a second command. Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, and it was full of maggots and began to smell. And so Moses was angry with them. That brings us now to these maggots, who have kind of like slowed down a little. I put them in the fridge overnight because that's how you keep them alive. But I think they're a bit cold and they haven't quite woken up yet this morning. But they are still wriggling around in there. Imagine waking up and going to your lovely pot of manna and finding that it actually looked like this. Disgusting. This brings us to the maggots. When they ignored God's words and they kept it until morning, it got all stinky. It really does smell. Oh, man. That's foul. You can have a sniff afterwards if you want. It got all stinky, it got all maggoty, and they couldn't eat their food. You see why? The first command was quite easy. If you think about it, the first command was just to collect 2 liters of food per person per day. That's quite easy. That's quite a lot of food for a day, particularly if you're in the middle of the desert. But this command is about throwing precious food away. Each day, you have to empty out all your cupboards and get rid of all your leftovers, and that is a real test of faith. Will you trust the fresh batch tomorrow, or will you keep an insurance policy, a bit of buffer, a backup, just in case God forgets tomorrow? But surely you'd say that's a wise use of resources. I am sure that God will provide for tomorrow, but it doesn't harm to have some spare. What if someone comes and wants something to eat? Do you see this in yourself? Are we really trusting God to provide? Or are we really trusting what we've managed to hold on to for ourselves, the resources that we have control of? But the Lord makes it very clear that half-trust was not what he wanted. He wants us to trust him for what we need when we need it. I wonder, do you ever worry about tomorrow? Do you ever worry that you're going to run out? You're going to run out of time or energy or money or emotional capacity. You're just not going to be able to cope. You're not going to have enough tomorrow to get through. He does not promise to give us today what we need for tomorrow. Instead, he wants to invite us to pray as our Lord Jesus calls us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. In fact, it was Jesus himself who picked up this image of manna in the New Testament. You can read about it in John chapter 6. In fact, just like today's story, Jesus is surrounded by a huge crowd with no food and miraculously provides them with bread and with meat, with fish. And when the crowd follow him across the lake for another meal, he flips it round and he says this, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and yet they died. But here," Jesus says about himself, "here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." When Jesus died on the cross, he was dying in the place of grumbling, distrusting, discontent people like me and you. He was dying to pay for our sins so that we might feast on him and live. And just like the Israelites needed manna every day, otherwise they would die, so we need Jesus, otherwise we die. And if you haven't already done so, I would urge you to feast on Jesus, to come to him, to ask for forgiveness, to ask for that eternal life that comes only from him. But this isn't just a one-time meal. For all of us, Jesus is our daily need. I needed Jesus the day that I trusted him. I needed Jesus just as much the next day. I needed Jesus today, and I'll need Jesus tomorrow. Each morning as we wake up and unzip our tents, there is fresh mercy to be enjoyed, more of Jesus to discover. So as you come to him each day, rely on him each day for your every need of each day. Whenever you feel like you're not going to cope, whatever causes you to worry about tomorrow, that you don't think you're going to have enough to get through, don't worry. Don't grumble. Entrust yourself into his hands, knowing that when you wake, His mercies are new every morning. He will provide what we need when we need it. You know, that's a wonderful way to live. As we close, let me tell you the story of George Müller. He's one of my favorite people. He was a Prussian pastor who lived and worked in Bristol in the 1800s. And he set up orphanages to care for thousands of children. He decided never to take a salary and never to ask for money for the orphanages, but rather to take Jesus literally and ask the Lord to provide for his daily bread. And there were often times where Müller had no idea where provision would come from, sometimes to the point where there was no food on the table as they even set the meal, laid out the meal to be had. But whenever they needed, the Lord provided. And this is the thing, for Müller, that wasn't actually a negative thing. For Müller, it was a wonderful blessing to live in genuine dependence on the Lord. Listen to what he said. This has been the means of letting us see the tender love and care of our God over his children, even in the most minute things, the smallest things, in a way which we never experientially knew before. And it has, in particular, made the Lord known to us more fully than we knew him before as a prayer-hearing God. May we, like Müller, learn this basic lesson that the Lord provides daily for our needs. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful provision of the bread of life, our Lord Jesus. And thank you for your wonderful daily provision of all that we need. Help us to trust you. Forgive us for our grumbling. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.